Welcome to the Sports AHS podcast. I am Michael Florek. I am joined, as always, by my crew here. There is the legendary Matt Wixon.
Oh, I'm legendary this week. Happy to be part of the crew.
We went from, what did we go from? Old guy, to
sage?
To guru. To guru, and now he's legendary.
It's taking a nice trajectory.
That's true. That's true. And then we got staff writer Joe Hoyt over there.
Yeah, I've upgraded a little bit, so it's good to be here.
And then we got a digital dude, Avi Zalin.
Digital dude, just hanging real loose.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, some digital stuff.
On the interwebs.
Yeah, tweeting and stuff. So everyone's here. We're back for another week. An interesting week here at week two was. Yeah. Another interesting week with week three. And then we finally get to district where the games actually like really matter here. So just, Matt, you were at Allen Evangel Christian. Just what did you kind of take away from that game?
Allen's defense is really good. I knew they were going to be good when I got there, but especially against the run, they just stuffed the run and frustrated Evangel from the start. I still think Allen's offense has, you know, a lot of potential that's there and that they haven't realized yet, which, I mean, we're 2 weeks into the season, so that's no surprise. And their coach, Terry Gamble, is not, he doesn't seem alarmed at all that they're not moving the ball successfully. You know, the bar is pretty high at Allen for offense. They've had some pretty good guys there. But the big thing that stood out to me there was defense. And they got a real good kicker, too. He keeps kicking longer field goals, kicked a 51-yarder. I think they, you know, if you're early in the season and you got a good defense and you're doing things right like that, I think you're going to feel pretty good. If you're a sieve and you're giving up 600 yards of offense, you feel a lot worse than if your defense is solid. So, you know, I'd rather have defense early than offense if I were an Allen fan.
And they move up to number one in the state in the AP ranking. So we'll talk about that in a sec. But Joe was at the game of the night probably, or the game of the week, which was Mansfield-Cedar Hill. Joe, just what were those final minutes like after Cedar Hill starts their 21-point comeback in the fourth?
Yeah,
right?
21. Yeah.
So what was that final quarter and those final minutes like?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of crazy because, you know, Mansfield is just owning this game. The first three quarters are in complete control. You know, Kennedy Brooks is having another Kennedy Brooks game against Cedar Hill. And then all of a sudden, you know, Cedar Hill scores again and there's a three and out. And then Cedar Hill scores. Marquise Foreman has a 55-yard run. And then next, you know, another three and out, and you kind of piece it together like, oh, Cedar Hill has a chance here. I kind of was on tight deadline, so I had a story written up, kind of ready to go for Mansfield winning. And then someone from the Cedar Hill, someone who was affiliated with Cedar Hill kind of looked at me. She goes, you know, I hope you get in trouble with that deadline over there because I'd have to rewrite this story. You know, it was an absolute crazy comeback, even the final touchdown, Marquise Foreman. You know, the play was supposed to, they wanted to throw the ball. And Garrett actually wanted to spike the ball at first
Garrett
on
McGuire.
A fourth down, Garrett McGuire. But
back
then
quarterback.
Yeah, replacing Avery Davis, who missed the game with an ankle injury. And then they kind of gave it to Marquise. He made three guys miss and barely dove for the end zone and got in. So it was crazy, crazy comeback. They led for 4 seconds, but it was the only 4 seconds they would need. So,
yeah. And I mean, we're going to talk to Joey McGuire here in a little bit. And as the old guy here, as the guy with the kids, I got three sons, I can only imagine what it was like seeing your son out there playing in this kind of a game. Fortunately, it wasn't like a playoff game or something like that, but you're playing a really good team, Mansfield, and to see him go out there and basically did pretty well, certainly for a first-time starter. That is a tough assignment.
Yeah, especially because his son, he wanted to coach his son. That was the reason he did not leave for Texas, or I guess the main reason. I'm sure there are other reasons, but that was the main reason. So to have that all kind of come full circle here has to be nice for him. I saw Jesuit Plano East, Jesuit without its quarterback Jacob
Another
Polish.
Quarterback injured.
Yeah, lots of quarterbacks injured. I wonder who will write a story about that this week. But little teaser.
Is that a tease?
Yeah, that's what we in the business call a teaser. As I said, Jesuit without Jacob Polish, their quarterback, so threw in Parker Towns. He played pretty well. They gashed the Plano East defense. They just could not stop Mikel Smalls in that Plano East offense and just kind of went from there. So Plano East is an interesting team, a lot of talent. That defensively, their rush defense was maybe not as good as it could have been or should have been. So it will be interesting to see if they can kind of shore that up a little bit here. Avi, what was your just kind of big takeaway here in week two?
I feel like I'm like the 5A advocate week in and week out. Hatchie Highland Park. Yeah. What a game. Yeah. What an unbelievable, well, believable, I guess, comeback by Waxahachie to beat Highland Park. Shakes up our rankings, shakes up the state rankings. I was looking at Timberview and Lone Star. Timberview gave mm-hmm. them a heck of a fight there. Lone Star ultimately, I guess you could say the more talented team wins in the end. And then I think it was a really big win for Carroll. I think South Lake Carroll, we were kind of all looking at them and Martin. Martin gets off of a week of absolutely destroying Skyline, 55-7, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so we look at that and we look at Carroll losing to Broken Arrow in week one. And coming off both of those results, I think everybody picks South Lake Carroll to lose. Mm-hmm. But they win in convincing fashion against Arlington Martin. And I don't know if that says more about South Lake Carroll or that says more about Arlington Martin, but I think South Lake Carroll is a unit that is new pieces, they're coming together more, and they're going to gel, and they're going to get a little better each week. I mean, you got Hal Wasson is still the coach. Mason Holmes is still a good quarterback. I think that's just a work in progress, and they slipped up in week one, and they'll just get better from here.
And they got a big play threat out of Robert Barnes moving to offense. I think he had about six catches for 150 yeah. yards, so that was huge for them. The one thing that, you know, I talked with Hal and Coach
Old
Bob.
Hal, first name basis.
Oh, yeah. I talked with Hal.
Me and Hal, go way back.
Oh, yeah. And Coach Bob Wager from Arlington Martin. Both of them said how good and talented Tulsa Union was, the team that South Lake Carroll lost to in week one. Mm-hmm. They expect big things from them. So it was, you know, like you said, a big win for South Lake Carroll to kind of turn around in week two.
Yeah. OU commit Robert Barnes, or OU pledge, we should say. Verbal commitments are not binding. Just remember that.
Oral commitments.
Yeah. Oh, we remember. Because they change a lot.
Yes. Big time four-star safety. They put him at receiver and 153 yards. So just...
You give the ball to your best player.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be the first time where their coaches are like, man, we really feel good with him, this particular player, full-time defense.
Yeah.
And you see, just you have a real need on your team, and you have to adjust and say... And I'm sure he's playing some defense too, but you know it's going to be difficult to play that many snaps uh-huh. on offense and defense.
Right.
But he's a big time player.
Unless you're in 3A, then you're used to doing it all the time.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Let's just move to our area rankings versus the AP rankings. AP rankings come out. Allen becomes the new number one. DeSoto jumps to number two. Now we at Sports AHS, all four of us, are area ranking voters. We are unanimous with DeSoto at number one, and then I believe we're all unanimous at Allen at number two at this point. Just, are we underrating Allen, if that's possible?
Well, we could be underrating Allen. I don't think we really know, but I think the state rankings, and it's not taking anything away from Allen, but I think the state rankings are reflective of your history, too.
Yeah.
Allen has won 59 of its last 61 games. DeSoto has been very, very talented many, many times, and they've had some really good seasons, but they haven't been able to beat Allen. In fact, Allen has basically been their nemesis.
What rivalry? You need to beat the other team.
Right. So I think it's a natural that you put Allen at number one. But when I saw DeSoto play Jesuit the first week, mm-hmm. and I thought DeSoto's defense played really well, and their offense looked really, really good, and Sean Robinson looked like he fit in really well. And given all those things, I feel like at the moment, they would be my number one team.
I think what puts Allen at a little bit of a disadvantage is we don't know how good the teams are that they played.
It's true.
Because, like, yeah. It's like, oh, you beat Hoover. I think Hoover's good. And then it's like they beat Evangel Christian. It's like, I think they're good. You know, and it's hard because we don't have a point of reference. And it's like you want to say they're good wins, and they probably are. You know, those are probably good teams. But it's very hard to, like, say, like, what win beats out the other win, where, you know, DeSoto beats certain teams and we kind of just know the quality of those teams. And we know if you beat a certain team by 30 plus points, then, you know, that's impressive. So if Allen goes out there and they just dominate Evangel, we don't know what the in-state equivalent of that would be. So it's tough. And I think it'll be more telling, you know, when district play starts, you know, how good this Allen team is, which obviously they're a freaking amazing, like, really good team.
Yeah.
But when you're comparing, like, top three, it's, you know, by this much or that much, it's hardly noticeable.
Yeah, I think, as obviously said, the out-of-state teams, it's tough to put them into some sort of context just because you don't know who is around them, who they've played, anything like that. So I just think DeSoto's more talented. So at this point, they're both 2-0. They both handled both teams pretty, they've played pretty well. So you got to go with the paper and the paper says...
You're going to have to say something more controversial or we're never going to get anywhere.
Well, the problem with saying the more talented team is going to go farther is look at DeSoto last year. I mean, DeSoto last year is like, look at this team. They are so good. Oh, they're 500 now. Oh God.
Yeah. Well, they had problems. But I agree with Mike. I mean, it's basically, at this point, maybe I'm voting on potential too, because we've only seen 2 weeks worth. DeSoto looks like a
team. Why Cedar Hill is still in our top five?
Well, because of who they've played.
Right, but I'm saying the potential is part of it.
Oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, if people want to make a heads or tails out of it, that's fine. I think they're both really, really good teams. And in fact, they're probably going in different divisions. They probably aren't going to play each other.
Yeah.
Allen's certainly Division I, they're the biggest school in the state, and I think DeSoto is pretty much a lock for D2.
I think...
I think Grand Prairie has
Grand
to
Prairie needs Grand to Prairie make the playoffs, because that's the only team smaller than Cedar Hill. But the thing is, it's like, oh, you don't get Allen, but you get Cedar Hill. Congratulations.
Right. Well, their both brackets will be really good.
Speaking of Cedar Hill, we have on our line Mr. Joey McGuire, head coach of Cedar Hill. So we're going to talk to him right now. Joey, thanks for being here. Coming off a 42-41 victory over Mansfield. Last second kind of touchdown there. Just what was your kind of initial thought when Marquise Foreman goes towards the goal line? Did you think he had gotten in?
Yeah, I did. You know, especially after the bang-bang play that they called earlier whenever – whenever I thought that Kennedy didn't score on a similar play, and then he ended up, scoring. So I was thinking that he would have gotten in on a similar play.
Taking a step back and talking about in a broad sense for that game, what does that do for you guys when you rally? You score 21 points at the end. I mean, moving forward, you're trying to build with every game. What does that do to the spirit of a team? Coming off the field after a win like that?
Well, one thing that it does is it gives you the belief that you're never out of a game, you know, and you're doing it with a backup quarterback and the kids, you know, never gave up. They fought their tails off, thought that we had a, you know, great energy on the sideline, and that gives you a lot of momentum going into the next game. I mean, you can't live off of that moment, but it definitely gives you momentum of going into the next game.
Right. And speaking of a backup quarterback, he's a guy you know pretty well, your son Garrett. What is the feeling at the start of the game when he goes out there and he takes the field? I mean, is it a combination of pride and anxiety, excitement, anxiety, all those kind of things kind of rolled into one?
Well, you know, I was really nervous all week long. I mean, we had a feeling – we were kind of making a game time decision with Avery, but we had a feeling that we were going to rest him. You know, he's got an ankle. We wanted to make sure that, you know, he's full tilt. We got some big games coming up and that are going to start counting. And so really nervous before the game. I got Garrett in the weight room, you know, and got a little emotional and told him, you know, hey, look, man, this is not about me. Don't go out here and just the type of kid he is, try to do something more for your dad. You go in there and you play for the guys that are in that locker room. Man, I thought they rallied around him and he rallied around them great.
Just what is kind of the hardest thing about having to kind of throw in a backup? I assume you go into the regular season, you're expecting your quarterback to play every game, and then second game you got to go to turn to your backup. Just what's the hardest thing about that?
Just how many reps that those guys get with the ones, you know, just timing-wise, there was some stuff that throughout the game with his timing and then, you know, just the receiver's timing as far as, you know, Garrett throws an accurate ball, but it's not coming out of his hand like Avery. So, you know, you've got to time it up so you don't get those same reps. So that's kind of the things that as the week goes on and you get more reps with the ones that you kind of be able to settle down and use to where the receivers are going to be.
Coach, what is the latest on Avery Davis? You know, how's he feeling? What's kind of his outlook for this week?
We're going to do the same thing. You know, we've got him right now in a boot, just trying to take some pressure off that ankle. I mean, if it was for the state championship or if it was to get in the playoffs, he would have played last week. It's not a deal from the standpoint of, you know, that it's anything major, but we open up district with DeSoto and Duncanville, And those are going to be two really, really huge games. So we don't want to go limping into that game with our quarterback. So if he progresses, we'll play him on Friday. If not, then Garrett will get the start, and the game should slow down a little bit just with another start under his belt. So, we'll kind of see how Avery's feeling.
Coach, kind of reviewing film and just kind of looking back at the game, was there any kind of signature, thing that happened or moment that really kind of helped you guys kind of claw back into it in the fourth quarter and, get you back into the game?
Well, whenever you go through the game, and, I've replayed that game and watched them, of course, but replayed it in my mind and just different things. Marquise Foreman's explosive touchdown to where, we scored, I think, with one or two plays in that series, so it didn't burn a lot of clock. I thought he played great. I thought we played better in the offensive line. And then, we had a couple of plays to Buckley and Rambo in that fourth quarter that really helped us move the ball down the field. And then defensively, for the first time all night, I thought Coach Limley, our DC, made a great adjustment in the fourth quarter, kind of changing the edge of our defense. And I think we either had two three-and-outs or three three-and-outs in that fourth quarter to get the ball back to us. So I thought that was huge on both sides of the ball.
Hey, Coach, 10 years ago this season, you were in the middle of what was going to be the first state championship season for Cedar Hill. Cedar Hill had not won a playoff game ever at that point. Now, 10 years later, you've won three state titles, played in four state title games, and created kind of a powerhouse there at Cedar Hill. 10 years ago, if you could be back in your head back 10 years ago, could you ever imagine that there would be this kind of success for Cedar Hill, or did you envision it?
Now, I'll tell you, I know people are not going to believe this, but in 2004, we went 5-5. And I go into Miss Farmer's office and I said, please don't fire me. And she was looking at me like, what are you talking about? Because we had won the year before. And I told her, I said, this program is a state championship program. I truly believe that we can turn this thing into a powerhouse. And so I guess either just me being young and dumb and so optimistic, I just really believe that that everything was here in Cedar Hill, from the administration, the way everything's set up, the school kids that we have in the school that we could be. Now, you don't sit there and say, golly, can you do it and play in four of them and win three? And maybe not, like that. But I knew we could be a state champion. I knew we had the kids that were coming to do that.
Kind of the other big topic, I guess, of last week was this open letter written by the head of the THSCA, Dan Wetzel, kind of talking about the Bishop Gorman game, and he said you can't really compare Gorman to Cedar Hills. It's like comparing apples to oranges. And then obviously Gorman coach Kenny Sanchez comes back and says he kind of takes some exception to it. I just kind of, you're kind of dragged into this as sort of an outsider here, but just what did you kind of make of that letter?
Well, I understand, Dave's a phenomenal coach, and, he's lost a kid to IMG. I totally understand what he's saying. The first thing that I told Coach Sanchez after the game, I called him the next day. I even texted him a couple times during the week, this week. He sent me a text, and whenever he saw that Garrett started the game and told me congratulations. First thing is the way that team was coached and the way they played. I have nothing but complete respect. It was one of the most impressive groups, not just playing wise, but coaching. Their kids were extremely well coached. So, I totally have so much, and we got our butts kicked. I mean, we got our butts whipped. So, I don't want to take anything away from them, but I also understand. Whenever you have a team that has kids from 17 different states and stuff like that, I understand where Coach is coming from, and it's probably a deal to where I've got to look at if that was a good thing for football, but it wasn't. I just know just for the game and the coaching and stuff like that, we got our butts handed to us, and it was handed to us by a great coach team and a team that played extremely hard. If I was sitting there and looking at it, I would be extremely proud. I have nothing but respect for Bishop Gorman.
If you could go back in time, would you still schedule them again?
But, you know, whenever you look at it, you always look at, is this going to make you a better football team? I think in the long run, it's going to make us a better football team. I don't necessarily know if I would or not. I'd have to probably spend a little bit more time really getting deep in the thought of how it affects everything, you know, maybe in the state of Texas as far as high school football. But I do think playing them, it's going to end up being good for our football team. And at the end of the day, that's what's important.
There was some talk, I don't know, about 2 years ago, there was obviously the Texas talk about how you might go to Texas, you might not. You decided to stay. You decided to stick it out with your son just kind of after this game where your son leads the team. Is this kind of what you expected, returning and sticking it out at Cedar Hill?
Well, you know, I'm fired up for the University of Texas. I'm fired up for Charlie Strong, first of all, for the win they had the other night. That was so fun to watch. But he turned around, and you know, Garrett and I are so close. He wants to be a coach, so it's a father-son relationship. It's a young man trying to learn the game relationship. And so I will tell you, there's been very few moments in my coaching career that was better than Friday night. Just from the standpoint of being able to be a proud dad, you know, and it was tough on him. He could have easily, I mean, he grew up, and we've lived in Midlothian for 25 years, and he probably could go over there to Heritage, and Coach Wigginton would have done a great job with him, but he and I wanted to be together, and maybe if he was a junior, it'd be different, but he's playing behind a pretty phenomenal quarterback, and so it's one of those deals that you always got to be ready to play, but sometimes it's like, hey, am I going to get to play him? I thought after the first series of the game, he calmed down and he played really well. He did some things that surprised me, and I stuck my chest out a little bit more as a dad just watching him play.
Well, Joey McGuire, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it, and we'll look forward to Friday night with you guys against Mesquite Horn.
Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, man. I love what y'all do. You know I'm a huge fan. I think y'all do a phenomenal job. There's nobody better than the Dallas Morning News.
Awesome. Appreciate it. We got one fan.
A good kiss.
Thank you. Hey, I got y'all's back.
We appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you.
Have a good one.
Thanks again to Joey McGuire for coming on. Let's move into our third segment, looking ahead at
the game. We're already in week three.
Week three. I should note that Matt Wixon is not here. This is a little little podcast behind the scenes. We had to take a break because apparently people are freaking out over editorial's presidential recommendation and whatnot. So they had a radio interview. So Matt had places.
We could give a presidential recommendation, but you don't see people clamoring over that.
That's true. That's true.
We make picks every week.
Yeah,
that's almost as important.
Yeah, so Matt could not stay. He had to go. He had places to be, people to
see.
He's
an important guy.
Exactly.
He's a legendary guy.
Exactly, the legendary Matt Wixon. So Matt is not here, but we're gonna push on without him. Avi did like that joke by Joe. Let's just look.
I'm kind of in a goofy mood, so this is going to be a real fun 10 minutes.
All right. Let's just go to the Nobody Believes in Us game.
Oh, here it is.
Sweeping the nation.
Yeah, it's sweeping
the
nation.
Oh, I got a good one.
Well, Avi, you said you wanted, a real rules.
No. That was Matt. I am a free-spirited guy. I'm just like, whatever. I mean, if you have rules, did you bring
rules?
I'm
down for real rules.
I came up with a few, simple rules.
Let's hear them.
Yeah. Okay, so if you pick your team and it's an upset, it's got to be an upset, and we agree that it's an upset, you get 1 point.
Okay.
If your team, whether it's an upset or it's not an upset, if someone on that team talks about nobody believing in us, they were sleeping on us, we had a lot of haters, anything like that, that's 3 points.
What if they reference the podcast?
No, that's then you win.
5 points.
Bonanza.
That's 5 points. Yeah. So let's just kind of recap what happened last week. So, Avi, who did you pick?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I
think you picked Flower Mound.
Yeah, but they lost, so I'm trying to say I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Joe, who did you pick?
I went with Tim Review and Frisco Lone Star, and it was a good game. I chose Tim Review to beat the No One Believes in Us, and they put up a fight. So
yeah, not quite, but almost a point. I chose Cedar Hill, but it was not really an upset pick.
Okay.
Did anybody you talked to talk about the haters? Nobody believed in us. People were sleeping on us.
I don't recall.
So that's a no. So 0 points all around. I can't remember who Matt picked.
The end of this game is going to be one guy with like 6 points, and he's going to be the winner at the end of the season.
Because they're going to reference the podcast, and they're going to win. That's 6 points right
we'll
there.
See. Yeah. What was Florick? What was your game?
What was my pick?
Yeah.
I picked Cedar Hill to just say it, but nobody said it, apparently.
All right. Well, didn't... Okay. I guess you don't get a point because we weren't consensus that that's an upset.
No.
Okay. All right. To this week.
To this week. Avi, you're real excited. So
I'm real excited.
Just hit us with your pick.
All right. I was debating between a couple teams, but Ennis is going to be my nobody believed in us team. There's a lot of hype right now around Waxahachie coming off a big win against Highland Park. I think we can agree they're the favorite.
Waxahachie? Yeah. I would agree with that.
I think people are sleeping on Ennis a little. I don't know. It's a rivalry game. I think that resets a lot of things. I think a lot of cool stuff can happen. There's a lot of passion there. You know, Ennis has Tyson Thompson. He's an electrifying athlete. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Ennis pulls the upset.
I like that pick. That's a good pick. I would be concerned about just the Ennis offense being able to keep up with Waxahachie.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, so it's going to really come down to whether the defense can stop
in the paper, if that's part of our pick 'em, I'll probably pick Waxahachie. But
wow. You got to believe in your nobody believes in us team.
What? I mean, fine, whatever.
We multiply the points by two then if you put it in
No more rules.
I do like that. I do like that. If you pick
double or nothing, we'll call it.
If you pick them in your Sports Day HS picks, which come out every, Wednesday? Wednesday night. Be on the lookout for those.
Okay, all right.
Then if they win, you get 2 points instead of one.
Perfect.
I hope you're the one keeping track of all this.
Yes, I'll keep track of our four picks every week.
Hey, dude, numbers are hard. Math's hard, y'all. All right, moving on. Yeah. Joe.
Can we get like a audio clip of like No One Believes in Us?
You know, every
time. Oh, an intro?
Or an intro, or like, you know, like, oh yeah, no one believes in Mansfield Timberview, and then someone goes like, nobody believes in us.
Oh.
Yeah, like a button you press.
Yeah,
like, you
know. We could work on that. I want to work on that.
Okay. Or just Bart Scott saying, can't wait, because I love using that.
That could be the ending.
Yeah.
Can't wait. But yeah, back to my pick. I am riding with Timberview once again, because I firmly believe that no one believes in them. There's a lot of belief going on. Yeah, last week I thought they'd pull an upset of Frisco Lone Star, and they held him defensively. They were awesome again. You know, I mean, it's Frisco Lone Star had 62 points the week before, and then Jason Shelley had about 160 yards passing, and that's Frisco Lone Star's quarterback. So I'm going with Timberview against Highland Park. I don't think anyone believes that Timberview is going to beat Highland Park Highland Park. Avi doesn't believe.
Nope.
No.
You hear that, Timberview?
Go Scots. Go Scots, baby.
I mean, it's tough to win. It's at Highland Park, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's tough to win.
You'll
there.
Run into the sideline. They have lost for the rest of the game.
They've lost there like once in the past. I don't
and
know.
And I think we remember
years,
that all too well last year.
Yeah. To Pulaski Academy over in Arkansas.
Pulaski Academy.
That's an interesting pick though, because you do have the Timberview defense who proved they could shut down a good offense in Lone Star. So you have that combined with a young quarterback at Highland Park, John Stephen Jones.
John Stephen Jones beat reporter, Mike Florick.
Because I wrote JSJ. One story about him.
Well, I wish it was every week.
JSJ update every week.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, he is Jerry Jones' grandson, Stephen Jones' son.
Congratulations, we can now put this on the Cowboys site because you said that. All right.
Yeah, so I do enjoy that pick as well. I think that's a solid pick. I mean,
spoiler alert, I'm going to go with Timberview again next week. Just saying.
The Wolves.
Wow.
Every week.
He's part of the Wolf Pack now.
Yeah.
All right. Florick, I'm anxious to hear yours because I have another one cooking. I'm not going to use it because I already used mine, but it's a good choice. So go ahead with yours.
My pick is going to be Rockwall against South Lake Carrolls.
Ooh.
Rockwall's, everyone's kind of down on Rockwall.
It's a spicy meatball there.
They start 0-2.
Spicy meatball.
played Rowlett really well. I think they got a lot of talent. They just need some time to figure. They got Sam Crawford. I like their running back, A.J. Blacknell.
They have a heck of a linebacker.
Orji?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Orji? I don't know.
For this sake, it's the latter.
But yeah, they got both of those brothers.
That's why I said they got a good linebacker, because I didn't want to walk into that trap.
Oh, my.
Class of 2018, I believe. I tell you which one is appealing to me, and I didn't pick it. Colleyville Heritage over Trinity.
Whoa.
I'm going to be at that game. I did think about that. I thought about it long and hard. It's tough to go against Trinity just because they wear teams down.
They wear teams down, and they'll have the ball too long. Like, Colleyville can score on you a lot real quickly, but if Trinity has the ball by running it every down, or running it a lot, you know, then they won't even get the chance. All right, so Florick, I like your pick there.
Yeah, so to recap, I'm taking Rockwell, Avi is taking Ennis, and Joe... is riding the Mansfield Timberview bandwagon. Either to glory or off a cliff here.
I'm dedicated. I'm in it.
So besides those games, just what else are you looking out for here on week three?
It's weird. It's a lean week in the sense that we don't have two powerhouses going against each other. I think that's what we were looking at the last 2 weeks. Last week we had Mansfield, Cedar Hill, you know, and we were licking our chops at that one. The first week, a lot of different intriguing matchups. And this week, there's a lot of parity, but it's not necessarily with the dynasty teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm looking at some games. I think Ryan Wiley East will be interesting. Eno Benjamin, the Fighting Enos, versus Ryan. I still think Ryan wins that. We were talking about this. Woodrow and Frisco. I think those are two evenly matched teams. I'm not really sure where to go. It's Salina-Argyle week. That game has lost a little bit of luster because Salina lost. But it's just two of our best 4A teams in the area year after year. And then finally, Plano Rowlett. Who thought that would be an interesting game? But here we have it. Somebody's going to get their first loss, and I don't know who it's going to be.
Who are you going to pick in your picks?
I will pick Rowlett.
Wow. Just coming out with it. I didn't expect that.
I do. I like Rowlett a lot. I thought they lost a little bit too much because Logan Bonner was that team last year. But they've come out, and Ladarius Dickens, hey, still a great wide receiver. They got a really good win last week. You know, Rockwall is 0-2, but they're better than that record shows. And I think for Rowlett to beat Rockwall, that shows a lot more about Rowlett than it does about Rockwall. And I think just based on who they've played, I mean, Plano had a good win against Hebron, but I consider Rockwall better than Hebron. And I think that Rowlett beating them last week showed me a lot about the Eagles. So there you have it.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how, you know, South Grand Prairie and Arlington Martin losing to South Lake, you know, after routing Skyline. But then again, you know, that's 2 weeks of routing for Skyline in a row. For them being on the opposite end of it. So I'm curious to kind of see how good Arlington Martin is. I think that's a good test they'll get with South Grand Prairie, too.
Yeah, South Grand Prairie also coming off a loss here. So, yeah, kind of a big game for both of them. Avi, you already mentioned it, but I think Waxahachie Ennis might be kind of the game.
Battle of 287, baby!
Is the kind of the game of the week here, just because you have Hatchie, who's coming off that win over Highland Park. You have the rivalry game. Ennis is no slouch. Lost to Tyler John Tyler, as we say over here.
I think he's the Highland Park starting quarterback. Oh, no, that's different.
No, that's okay. It's different.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I think that is kind of the matchup this week. I think we really will know a lot about Waxahachie if they can come back and win that game. If they win that game, they're probably going to be state ranked. They just fell out of the top 10 this week, so or just fell short of the top 10, I should say, not out of it.
Yeah.
So that, I also like Cedar Hill Mesquite Horn. It'll be interesting to see which quarterbacks play. I don't know if Avery Davis is going to play. Chris Robeson on Friday sounded very positive like he would play, but they might just hold him out. Because
I think Stoops needs him a little sooner than he anticipated.
Yeah. So
I, yeah, good.
I think either way, that game is interesting just because those are two teams ranked in our top 10 in the area, and both backups proved they could play a little bit with Garrett McGuire at Cedar Hill and Jermaine Givens at Mesquite Horn.
There's a lot of temperature games on this week's slate. And what I mean by temperature games is there's teams after 2 weeks where we're not really sure where they're at. Because, oh, you have this good win, and then you follow up with this bad loss, or vice versa. And we're still kind of trying to – I think Martin's one of those teams that we're trying to feel out where exactly they are. And a couple of those games, Arlington versus Plano East. You know, Plano East starts off against Duncanville, and that loss looks better and better every week as Duncanville continues to progress. They get the win last week, and I think it'll be interesting to see where they're at. And then Duncanville Skyline, you know, Skyline seems like they've kind of fallen off a cliff a little bit. Is this going to be a chance for them to respond, or is Duncanville going to come out with a dominant win? Marcus, we don't really know that much about Marcus right now. They had a good win last week. They lost week one. They play Mansfield, a very good team. And then finally, Lake Ridge and Poteet. I think that's a very intriguing matchup. Lake Ridge plays, you know, Denton Ryan in the first week, and that's just going to be hard wherever you are. Poteet had, I believe, Wiley East, I want to say. I can't completely remember.
And when?
Just at some
last
point.
Last week? No. Poteet played Midlothian. And
that's right.
They played Ryan.
Okay. No, it was Ryan. That's right. I don't know. I just feel like Lake Ridge and Poteet's like two very good 5A teams. I'm interested to see how that one works itself out. I think they're both could win that game.
Yeah, just a lot of lot to think about right here. A lot to kind of stew on before we get going on Thursday. So stew on that. And for Avi, for Joe, for Matt, for me, go to sportsdayhs.com. At SportsDayHS on Twitter, Facebook.com/SportsDayHS, Instagram SportsDayHS. I think that our Instagram is underrated. I will say that.
Dude, the gram's been popping off recently. We added ghost players on there now.
Yeah. Check out our ghost player photo from Evangel Christian.
Yeah. We got like, we're up like to like 730 people following us on the gram, which is good. That's more than we've had. But we post twice every day. If you're curious, we post at noon and then we post at 7 p.m. And our photographers are the best. They just take some really awesome pictures.
I agree. And then go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. Tell us your favorite part of last week.
Or your least favorite.
Yeah.
Constructive criticism.
Or your nobody believes in us team.
Yes.
You don't have to put that in the review. You can just tweet it at us if you want. But I'm just giving you options here. And we'll see you Friday night.